To another episode here with me, Elmer Torres. And today we're going to talk about falling in love with your captor. And in this bizarre story on how falling in love with your captor falls in the category of A, having a dope relationship, B, the captor taking you to America for a better lifestyle, or C, having children, multiple children with your captor. And all of A, B, and C are fantastic because that's what my father did in the 1970s. He kidnapped my mother. Why? Because he took what he want. He seen her at the park, took her from there. Took her to a mountain not far from their pueblo, aka town, and ripped her guts open, stroked her shit, pulled her hair, because he took what he wanted. All right? And as my grandparents are frantically searching for my mother, and in those days, you really can't call 911 because they look at it as like a flock of sheep. You know, if you lose some and if you can't find them in a couple hours or days or weeks or whatnot, you have to take it as a lost. You know, that's how the Mexican authorities look at it. You know, in Mexico. And of course, weeks pass by and my mom is in this mountain getting her shit ripped open. And this was not my father's first rodeo. You know, this was, I think, the fourth or the fifth teen that my dad took to this mountain and had his way with them, you know. And at the time, my mom was 14. I think my dad was in his early 20s. But, you know, who cares, right? They fell in love, all right? My mother fell in love with her captor, you know? He showed her warmth. He showed her strength. He showed her advice, gave her wisdom. And in this case, nothing but dick, all right? And you're probably wondering, why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about kidnapping and all it is? Why am I glorifying that? All right? I'm not, because that is what a Republican is. You take what you want, all right? You need something, you go grab it. You want something to work in your favor, you fuck it. All right. If you want something to go your way, you manipulate it. You hold it hostage until it comes out of that room saying your fucking last name. All right. That's how Republicans work. And in this case, my father, he was a Republican before he started his kidnapping spree. in the 1970s in Mexico. My dad was a heavy Republican. He loved George Bush. Not the junior, but the senior. The one that ran in the 90s. He was in love with him. He had portraits of him on the wall. Here, me growing up, and I always used to thought that was my white uncle. Because that's what he referred him to. Like, that is your tío on the wall. You need answers? You ask your tío on the wall. You need advice? Ask your tío on the wall. You know? And as I grew up, I realized what my dad was. You know? Nowadays, you call it as a Stach 1A pedophile. But no, you know what that A stands for? It's called adventurous. My dad was an adventurous. He was a go-getter. He was a team player. He took charge. And as a Republican, that's how you're supposed to do it. I know I don't talk about too much about politics and stuff on here on my podcast, and you're wondering, why is he now just talking about politics? He never talks about politics in his other episodes. What makes him talk about hear it right now? Because the world's turning, and if you don't turn with it, you will get left behind. Yes, at work, I came out to everybody. Those that know, you know, I used to work at an airport, you know, it was a cool gig, been there for a couple of years, but now I work at a hospital, you know, where doctors and nurses, they fuck each other and they gossip and, you know, they talk about, if you're not a nurse or a doctor, they look at you with like you're a peasant, you know, because that's how they look at me, you know? So randomly, I came out, told everybody, hey, who are you voting for? Not Sleepy Joe, right? Why not Trump? And then from there, everybody started looking at me like the outcast. You know, they didn't really want to get too close. They didn't really want to have too much to deal with me or to talk to me. I am like that kid in high school that everybody tells you about, you know, when you're new and you know, everybody's showing you around. And everybody's like, okay, you know, Karen, she will help you in third period. Ricky will definitely take you home if you don't have a ride. But Elmer, stay away from him. He's a Republican. Stay away. He's weird. I'm that guy. All right? I am that guy. And it's okay. Because the more you take what you want, the more you succeed in life. You know? Because those that don't take what they want, they stay in that category of, well, I'll just wait till my 401k hits and then I'll buy the house. No. You fuck the realtor, you tie her up in the bathroom, you tell her you want this house for this price, and you take what you want. That's how you do it in America. All right? And that's how it's supposed to be. Because even in the comedy world, you know, and those that do not know, I am a stand-up comic. Well, I don't want to say stand-up. I am an open micer. But what's the difference? You're still going up there and telling jokes. Huh? I don't have a 30-minute special. I don't have an hour special. But guess what? When I'm up there for 30, no, not even, probably for like 3 or 4 minutes, that's my fucking special. When I'm up there for 3 minutes, that's my special. That's my show, and that's my crowd. You know? I'm taking what I want. I bomb probably 7 times out of 10. But guess what? I go up there and take what the fuck I want. I say what I want. I'm nobody. So I can get away with many things. And that's how you're supposed to treat a situation when you want something. Is if you're a comic, if you're an actor, if you're a rapper, if you're a fucking ballerina dancer, you know, you just can't wait for your turn. You have to skip lines, you know? You have to. Have you had Jersey Mike's and some dude's walking in with his fucking family and you were there first, but they know the cook and they know the dude making the sandwich. They know the manager. I'm like, oh, hey, Bob, don't worry. I got you. The usual, right? No, you scream. If I don't get my sandwich because I was here first, I'm going to kill kids. I have a gun. I have a semi-automatic weapon in my trunk. I am going to kill his kids if I don't get my sandwich. And guess what? They're going to give you your sandwich. They're going to give you free chips. And you're going to tell you have a nice day because you know what? They are scared of the outcome if they don't, if you don't get what you want. You have to have authority. And that's what my father did. He took authority. He took action. His rule book is whatever he wrote down. And that's how you were supposed to take life. Because if you don't, life will fuck you. You know, life will fuck you without a rubber or without Vaseline, without anything. You know, when I was at the comedy club a couple nights ago, I was doing my set. You know, I'm making people laugh. Some are screaming at me. Some are calling me a fat fuck. Some are you know, calling me a carrot top or, you know, whatever names. And it's okay. They call me all the names that they want to. But when I get off the stage and go to the bar, smoke my Black & Mild wine flavor, wit and tip, and I'm sipping on scotch or a margarita, whatever I'm feeling at that time, they walk up to me and I'm like, oh, I love your set. You weren't saying that when I was up there. You were making jokes. Now I have to stab you in the bathroom when you're fucking taking a piss. How would you like if someone kills you while you're in the stall of a bathroom at a dirty ass comedy club in Alameda, California, here in the Bay Area, stabbing you to death because you were making fun of a open micer and the last words that someone ever heard from you was in the bathroom? Huh? How would you like that? All right? Because he talked, he thought he was going to get away with things, but guess what? I am a class A adventurous like my father. I took charge. I seen opportunities. I took it. I pressed play and I fucked it. And that's how you're supposed to take life. All right. Yes, I tell jokes and people are wondering why haven't I been posting or making any podcast episodes. It's because I've been doing comedy. I've been out in the road. I'm not saying I've been in fucking Delaware or anything like that. I've been here local, Sacramento, San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco, here in the Bay Area, here just trying to get my voice heard. All right. And as a comic, that's what you want to do. You know, it's okay to have a podcast because you can come back to that. You can literally come back to that and perfect that. But before you, especially in my line of work, when I'm trying to perfect jokes, stories, trying to make people laugh or entertain them, I have to do it in real life first. You know, some people probably do it backwards, but no, not me. I like to have hands-on, face-to-face contact. I want people to throw bombs at me. I want people to tell me I suck. I want people to tell me I can't do it. I want people to tell me, oh, you fat fuck, you have more tits than my wife. I want people to tell me all of that. I want people to tell me all of that. All right? Because when I come back to the podcast, I have things to talk about. I have stories to tell. I have things to get out of my mind. You know, I'm not going to be like those fucking three amigos, alcoholics, three friends that have this podcast. If you don't know who they are, I'm so fucking happy that you don't know who these are. There's these three fucking Mexicans, probably three or four of them. All they talk about is being drunk. All they look like they get no type of pussy, no play. They look like all they do is be in a fucking room, record, saying the same shit all over, just with different titles and different fucking numbers for episodes. And that sucks. And they think they're being funny, but they're not. All right? This is the fucking real world. You want to be funny, you got to go into the fire. You got to go get laughed at, or you better get laughs in, you know? Regardless, that's being an adventurous. That's taking risks. That's being a fucking Republican, if you ask me. Because if you're sitting around here not doing anything, if you're thinking shit's going to come to you, it's not. In the words of Joey Diaz, you don't need a group of people to take over the fucking world. You only need three. You only need three solid people to take over the fucking world. If you have that, you're good. You're good. And that's what it is. Come laugh. And what I mean by that, go outside. All right? Me, I have no children. I'm 32 years old. I have no children. Because I want to make this work. I put careers first. I'm putting everything on the line. You know, I put money into it. I put dedication. I'm putting time and sweat. And that's what you're supposed to do. You know? I don't know. I'm just ranting, you know, but that's what's been going on in my life lately. You know, recently, probably like a week or two, I went to Chester Franklin's beautiful home. Beautiful, beautiful home for Thanksgiving, you know. Beautiful. I just hold his brand new born baby. You know, I don't want to say his name out there because, you know, I don't know if I have that approval for saying his name, the baby's name, here on the podcast. But he's wonderful. Little Drake is going to grow up and break bitches' hearts. And I hope little Drake has his dad's anger. Because I don't want that to fade away. I don't want little Drake's, his dad's anger to fade away. I want it to jump into him. I want him to beat women. All right? And women are going to be okay with that because he's half black. So women love to get their ass whipped by black people. Because as soon as they go to their job or a family, like, how did Lil Dre treat you today? He hired me today, but I know he loved me. I know he do, mama. Because ain't no nigga gonna let me bail him out of jail. And ain't no niggas gonna let him beat his ass on me. You know? I want Drake to be like that. Little Drake. You know? He's handsome. I want him to grow up and live in the world of just being abusive. Huh? And when I mean abusive, I mean that I can't relate, but I'm guessing if you have a big dick, you're allowed to be abusive. You're allowed to scream. You're allowed to beat women. You're allowed to live for free and eat up all the cereal and stuff. I'm guessing. All right. I'm not saying that's what it is or whatnot. All right. But I don't know. But, you know, I just want to say thank you to everybody that listens to this podcast. You know, I haven't posted in almost 2 months, and, you know, the end of the year is here. You know how Spotify gives you all these recaps of plays and listeners and minutes and all the stuff you have done within, you know, your podcast platform. And, you know, I have not posted in almost 2 months. And wow. My podcast numbers are amazing. You guys listen like to the shit out of my fucking podcast. And, you know, I'm just a small fish living in a big pond trying to grow in it, you know, and I'm grateful for everybody that shows love and supports. And thank you again. But with that being said, I'm just keep it brief and short. You know, I don't like to keep my podcasts, you know, long or whatever, you know, because everybody time frame or, you know, attention frame is very short or whatnot. But, you know, thank you again for listening to the Over the Fence podcast. Thank you again for always being there in this community. We support you. I support you. And thank you again. And like I say in every single episode, make sure she sucks your dick before you fuck, because you deserve the full package. And we are out. Thank you.